You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 5th of November 2025, a day where the Australian share market fell by 0.1%. We'll have the details with Luke Larrative in a few moments from Seneca Financial Solutions. But first, a Bitcoin, which has now entered bear market territory, typically meaning a fall of 20% from its recent peak. It is, though, just a little higher than where it started the year, but has been quite volatile. Analysts tell me while technical factors are contributing, investors are pulling back on risk overall, with crypto highly correlated to moves on the US tech-based NASDAQ index, which fell 2% overnight. To tell us more, I spoke with Rachel Lucas from BTC Markets. Rachel, so it appears Bitcoin has entered a bear market. What's behind all the selling at the moment?
Hi, Ricardo. Well, what we're seeing isn't just traders taking profit. What it seems to be is the market's actually shifting gears. Bitcoin's actually held up through about $43 billion in long-term holder selling. So that's basically OGs that have been in the market, say, since from 2009 onwards when Bitcoin was actually created. And what they've done is they've slowly been selling off in the market over the past couple of weeks. So price was actually able to hold support during that time. But what's happened is that support's finally given way. So once support actually breaks, we tend to see what's called cascading liquidations. In today's trading day, we saw about 1.8 to almost 2 billion in liquidations in a single day. Now, it's significant, but it's also like part of a broader pattern. I'm not sure if you're watching the market back in October 10th, we saw one of the largest liquidation events in recent history. It was almost $20 billion US in liquidations, and there was quite a significant event. Really shook investor confidence and kind of set the tone for what we're seeing now. What we tend to see is these large events that flush out these leverage positions often mark a turning point in sentiment, and it goes from bullish to cautious.
What I find interesting, though, as well, is that it comes at the same time where global equities have been sold off. There's talk about interest rates not necessarily falling as hard as we first thought, a pullback in risky assets. We saw there's discussion heightening about the potential for AI valuations not to reach those lofty highs, right? Has that factored into the sell-off in Bitcoin as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So Bitcoin specifically is highly correlated to the NASDAQ. It's considered a tech asset. So it tends to follow the price action for the NASDAQ and the S&P. So when Bitcoin's price starts to break down, especially from a technical perspective, so this week we've actually seen it break below its 50-week moving average. And historically, when that has happened in the past, it signals a bearish sign. So what happens is it could repeat, and it actually could go as low as the 200-week moving average. Now, to keep in mind, that's roughly a 55% correction from the cycle top, which puts like the next support zone at around $88,000 to $95,000. And of course, whether that price action holds depends upon macro conditions, just like you said, Ricardo. Interest rates, the strength of the US dollar as well. I don't know if you saw the Dixie at the moment, it wicked up to 100. And also whether the ETF inflows stabilize, because that's been one of the main supporting factors for the crypto market is the ETF inflows into Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin and a few other altcoins as well.
Yeah, you mentioned those other coins. So is this something that's being reflected in other crypto markets?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've seen the other majors. So Ethereum, which is obviously the number two altcoin asset in the crypto market, Solana as well, and other major altcoins are also seeing increased selling and lower volumes. What we see is Bitcoin tends to be the leader of the market. And so once it turns like bearish, the rest of the market tends to follow, and traders will rotate out of the riskier assets like your altcoin, like Ethereum and Solana, and then move into stable coins. So you start to see the stable coin dominance rising in market, and really a general shift towards caution, or obviously the risk-off sentiment, which we're seeing across the board.
So what's the outlook? If you look back at the Bitcoin chart for the year, it does show there's a lot of volatility. It's still above where it was this time last year. So what's the message for investors?
I think it's key to understand that volatility is really part of Bitcoin's DNA. But this year, the price swings seem to have been especially sharp. And I think it's because of all the positive momentum and sentiment that's in the market, obviously, with the, you know, the US administration turning pro-crypto. You've got the basically all of the acts that are in place at the moment, so the Stablecoin Act and the Genius Act. But it is also really important to understand a bear market in crypto is not it's not the same as traditional finance. So in TradFi, which is what we call it in crypto, a bear market is typically defined as a 20% drawdown from a recent high. In crypto, 30 to 50% is actually a normal day in the market. It's considered normal. And it's because the market trades 24/7. It's highly liquid. It's a relatively young asset class. And there's less institutional stability because it is such a young asset class as well. We've got a lot of retail speculation. Obviously, you've seen that with the meme coin craze, pumpfund.com, things like that. But we also tend to react. It's almost like the canary in the coal mine, where crypto tends to react before the broader market. And it's generally speaking because it's like got a lot more liquidity and a lot more fluidity in it as well.
Okay. And in just wrapping up, back to that first question, if we had to explain to an average person who's not really into crypto and don't understand the whole liquidation terminology, right, how would you describe the reasons why we've seen such a large sell-off over the past few days in terms of that Bitcoin price?
As hard as it is to explain to people, it's quite normal. So in previous bear market cycle, bull markets to bear market cycles, we've seen 55% drawdowns before, and it's actually bottom. So in 2021, when we had our last bull market, we actually retraced 55% and then literally hit a bottom and then peaked another 135% before hitting that cycle high and then coming off into the bear market. I think it's important also to zoom out. So short-term corrections can be extremely painful, especially when you're leveraged. So my recommendation is stay away from leverage unless you know what you're doing, because they can be quite painful. But they also set the stage for a longer term accumulation. So you've heard the saying, you know, you buy when there's blood on the street. Hopefully it's other people's blood that you're buying and not your own. And understand that it's a really good opportunity to get, obviously, an asset that you're interested in at a discount. Bitcoin's fundamentals haven't changed. The scarcity aspect of it, there's only ever going to be 21 million Bitcoin ever minted. It's decentralized, so it's owned by nobody, but owned by everyone. And the growing institutional adoption and the infrastructure haven't changed. So be patient, manage risk, avoid leverage. I can't say that often enough. And really stay informed.
That is Rachel Lucas there from BTC Markets. It takes us to the Australian share market, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 off by about 0.1%, doing a bit better than those in the US. The tech-based NASDAQ off by 2% overnight. Here, though, IT leading the losers on the ASX 200 today. That sector off by 2.9%, followed by materials and property. Sectors that did well include utilities, telcos, and financials. So many of those defensive type stocks. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Luke Larative, CEO of Seneca Financial Solutions. Luke, it's not just Australian share markets, but global markets that are really taking a hit today. And it looks like risk appetite has taken a step back. Why?
Yeah, there's a range of drivers from the US's perspective. I suppose there's some valuation concerns around the AI sector and, you know, a less dovish Fed, as well as a bit of a soft labour market. And they're kind of all playing a role and into this sort of bearish narrative today. I suppose locally on the ASX, it's a little bit different. We saw some pretty weak commodity prices overnight, and certainly some less optimism here about the RBA cutting rates as well. So, you know, that's could have sort of driven this appeal for these larger defensive companies today, and sort of the smaller end of the market and largely everything else getting sold off.
Let's break up some of what you mentioned just there. These fears of overvaluations in AI, how real are they? Because we saw the likes of NVIDIA, Palantir all smashed overnight in the US. Is it something that concerns you?
I mean, it has to concern you. I think, you know, we're underweight the Mag 7 and the US kind of more broadly. You know, our view is that the valuations are stretched and there's better opportunities from a relative sense, you know, in emerging market equities. So probably our international exposure a little bit tilted there. But yeah, I think the vals do look expensive. There's a lot of I suppose enthusiasm in the price now for some of these stocks and a pretty rosy future. And I'm not so sure that necessarily those stocks are worth paying for at these prices.
How's that risk-off sentiment been playing out on the Australian share market today?
As I kind of mentioned, it's sort of, money flowing to the large caps, to the tried and true. The small ordinaries index is down 2%, while the ASX 20 is up marginally. So that pretty much tells you kind of the story of where the money's flowing. It's these boring, low growth, defensive names, the likes of Commonwealth Bank, Coles, Telstra. They're all up sort of, 1% plus. And among the sort of top performing stocks on the index in the index today, and the rate sensitive stocks, the likes of Goodman Group, they're down sort of almost 4% on kind of data center related, I suppose, air coming out of that bubble.
Okay, you mentioned rates. Yesterday, the RBA left interest rates on hold at 3.6%, upgraded its inflation forecasts. It basically pushes back the chances of a interest rate cut. However, I did see one note. I think it was from HSBC yesterday that said the next change in interest rates will be up, but not until 2027. What's the market now thinking, and how is all of this flowing through to shares?
Mate, it's the million-dollar question. Just how stubborn is Australian inflation, and what's the RBA going to do about it? Well, I probably wouldn't go so far as to say there's been a shift in the narrative. That CPI data certainly put a question mark, shall we say, around this idea that rates are just consistently moving lower from here, which was kind of at least partially underpinning this kind of share market rally we've had over the last, 12 months, certainly. Our view is that the risk of a rate rise has increased. However, I think this kind of flat to downward bias is still sort of the base case for us. I think this uncertainty, though, is an opportunity for investors. Many of the ASX's sort of most impressive businesses, many of which have got really no meaningful exposure to interest rates or changes in interest rates, are trading at, pretty attractive valuations at the moment. And certainly, this pullback, I think, needs to be thought of more of as an opportunity for investors to rotate and get set for the next 12 months rather than maybe chasing the previous 12 months' names, which, are getting hit the hardest.
Any company news you're following today?
A little bit of a quiet day from a news perspective on the ASX. CAMA, the code for that is CMA. It's the Australian equivalent to the sort of $120 billion US unicorn Carvana listed on the ASX at a $300 million valuation. CAMA's forecast to generate $127 million bucks in revenue this next financial year, and they raised $100 million bucks in new capital from institutional investors. Shares were down 9%, really in sympathy with that kind of weaker technology sector. But from our perspective, that looks like a reasonable business with some pretty nice prospects.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Like I said, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Gold stocks are off 20% from their high, but gold's still 4,000 US an ounce. Technology names are, pretty much more profitable than ever, yet trading at, half the valuation they were before. Some of these so pro-cyclical commodity names, iron ore, copper, bauxite, spodumene stocks, they're at bargain basement valuations at the moment. And we think, a demand drive pickup there is on the way. So there's plenty of opportunity out there. It just might not be in the names that have worked for you over the last 12 or 24 months, and requires a bit of, thinking outside the box and I suppose thinking forward more so than 1 or 2 quarters. So I'm not getting too concerned at the moment.
That's Luke Larrative there from Seneca Financial Solutions, and he wraps up the podcast for this. What day is it today? It's Wednesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click that subscribe button. I'm taking a few days off. I'll be back on Tuesday. Stephanie Youssef will be filling in those days.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.